MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Augusta County's Commonwealth's attorney says a fatal shooting by deputies in December was justified. A local theater company says it will take over Court Square Theater. And a long-awaited investigation into abuse allegations at Virginia's Red Onion State Prison has been released. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, January 8th. A prosecutor says that three Augusta County deputies involved in a deadly gunfight with a suspect in December will not face charges. Dustin R. Griffin, age 42, was killed the night of December 17th as Augusta County deputies tried to arrest him on outstanding warrants just west of Stanton. After shooting and seriously wounding one deputy, Griffin died at the scene after return fire from the deputies. Augusta County Commonwealth's attorney Tim Martin said had he survived, Griffin would have faced a number of charges, including attempted aggravated murder and aggravated malicious wounding. In a press release Wednesday, Martin said the deputy's actions were justified. Just 1 week after the Harrisonburg Redevelopment and Housing Authority took over Court Square Theater, a local theater company says it will take charge. The Daily News Record reports Harrisonburg's Act One theater program says it will take over the HRHA's lease and operate the theater for the rest of the year. The donation page for the theater is still at HRHA's website. That's at HarrisonburgRHA.com. A long-awaited investigation into abuse allegations at Virginia's Red Onion State Prison is out. Dean Mirshahi with VPM News reports.
Virginia's Corrections Ombudsman Unit investigated abuse claims against Red Onion after at least six men incarcerated there intentionally burned themselves last year. In a partly redacted report released last month, Virginia Inspector General Michael Westfall wrote that most of the claims were, quote, unsubstantiated, including allegations of neglect and inhumane conditions. However, the investigation was inconclusive on claims that the men were driven to burn themselves because they faced racist conduct or retaliation from staff. A statement from the Virginia Department of Corrections says the report, quote, completely vindicated the agency.
Dean Mirshahi reporting. One of Governor Glenn Youngkin's appointees who was blocked from the University of Virginia Board of Visitors has been put on the UVA Health System Board. John Harris, a Youngkin donor and former chief financial officer at the private equity firm Carlyle Group, has been appointed as a non-voting public member to the health system board. The board is made up of six members from the Board of Visitors and the rector, all of whom have voting power. The Board of Visitors can appoint up to six public non-voting members. Democrats in Richmond want to see Virginia expand its battery storage as the Commonwealth modernizes its power grid. Critics fear the cost of the tech will fall on ratepayers long before they see savings in their monthly bills. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has more.
The ask, according to Democratic Delegate Rip Sullivan, is easy.
More and better energy storage is going to be required to get Virginia to where it needs to be with respect to affordable and a reliable energy grid.
To that end, he and fellow Democratic Senator Lamont Bagby will present legislation next week that sets new targets for power companies to implement battery storage. Here's Bagby.
It's about lowering costs, and this is what this legislative session will be much about.
Among the companies officials imagine this plan will rely on is Fluence. John Zoranchik is with the Arlington-based company. He says battery storage was once seen as unattainable, but innovation has helped bring down the once costly process of storing excess energy when it's cheap to be released when it's needed.
We've kind of taken and made something that was the Holy Grail into something that I think might be more like Tupperware. We can store those leftovers so you don't have to throw them out.
Still, critics like Steve Hainer with the conservative Thomas Jefferson Institute say the costs may not outweigh the benefits.
Every dime of building this is going to come from the ratepayers. Yep. They're going to have to prove to me that it saved me that much money.
The bill proposals are not yet live, though battery storage was listed among Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger's affordability agenda, meaning some version is likely to land on her desk later this year. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Public records are theoretically available to the public, But local and state governments often deny access by charging large sums of money. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Child goes missing, then school administrator gets fired. Intrepid journalist files public records request for emails about it. But the story never gets reported, because when Alexandria Times editor Caitlin Meisner got the bill for the public records request, it was $4,800.
My eyes nearly popped out of my head. I mean, I had never seen anything like that. And, you know, I had seen, you know, a couple $100s before, and that's difficult for a local paper to pay for. But this was just astronomical. I had no words.
She never got her hands on those emails because the newspaper could not afford to fork over that much money. And that was the point, says State Senator Danica Rome, a former journalist who now represents Prince William County.
I do know for a fact that there are those in local and state government who use FOIA fees as a deterrent to the requester so that they will not end up fulfilling the request. The custodians of records do this. I know this because they told me.
She says that's what they told her the first time she introduced a bill trying to set some kind of limits on what state and local governments can charge. So she compromised again and again. Now she's introduced yet another compromise, the sixth version of the bill. She's hoping this one will finally get to the governor's desk. I'm Michael Pope.
100 years ago, pianos were a fixture in many American homes. More than 300,000 of them were sold in 1925, but today the number has fallen to under 18,000. But one Charlottesville piano tuner says he still keeps busy, ensuring that existing instruments stay in use. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman has his story.
David Weiss has been playing the piano since he was a kid. For a time after college, he performed for a living. But it wasn't easy.
You get a little beat up. You're working weekends, evenings. You know, often the remuneration isn't great.
Then someone loaned him a book about how the piano actually works.
I picked this book up and I read it like 3 times, cover to cover. Man, it was a piano rebuilding shop not too far where I was living, and I started working there. And then eventually I spent a year at a piano technology school up in Canada.
Today, he's one of perhaps a dozen professional piano tuners in Central Virginia, able to adjust thousands of moving parts.
When I'm tuning a piano, I'm adjusting the tension on 220 strings or so in a very specific order. I can take a guitar or violin, there's a little peg, I can turn it with my fingers, it's easy. On a piano, there's so much tension on the strings that you need a lever 9 or 10 or 12 inches long to get enough force to even turn it.
And then there are the pedals.
If I play a note, a piece of felt hits the string and stops the note. I'll demonstrate. It shuts off. If I put the right pedal down, it rings on.
There is computer software available to help with tuning, and gadgets that replace a traditional and cumbersome tuning fork.
You know, you need 3 hands to operate it, because you have to play a note, you have to turn the lever, and you have to hit the tuning fork at the same time. So most people, even if they're tuning completely by ear, they're using an electronic. You just need 1 note to get started, and then you build your tuning from there.
But there's no exact standard for tuning, because every piano is different.
You know, it's wood, leather, and felt, and you just can't make everyone the same. If you went to Steinway Hall right now and you walked into their showroom, there could be 5 Steinway Ds. That's their flagship piano. The retail price might be like $200,000. And if you sat down and played all 5, they'd all be vastly different. And the other complication is pianos are so at the whim of humidity fluctuations that you can have a piano perfect at 2 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, it's changed.
Which is why anytime a concert pianist comes to Charlottesville, a piano technician like David Weiss gets a call.
They might fly in, and immediately they'll go to the piano and play for 3 or 4 hours. And then they'll walk out, and you'll be waiting there, and they'll have a list. And typically it's things like, this note doesn't sustain as well as its neighbor, or when I push this note down, it sounds a little thin, or the pedal doesn't give me exactly what I'm looking for.
Concert halls aside, many schools, churches, restaurants, hotels, recording studios, and serious musicians have acoustic pianos, so many that Weiss contends there's a shortage of tuners. He often worked more than 40 hours a week. Now he's in the process of retiring, but his son is in the business, confident there will always be a place for this instrument like no other.
The piano is kind of a whole orchestra in one instrument. The low notes, the high notes, and you can play every kind of music. If you're a beginning student, everything is laid out. There's C, D, it just follows the alphabet. You know, you can learn that at the first lesson.
And while artificial intelligence may assist piano tuners, Weiss says the human being will always play a central role. He has carried 8 bags filled with the tools needed to repair and maintain 5,000 moving parts in an average acoustic piano. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Finally today, the space shuttle Discovery may end up staying in Virginia after months of attempts to move it. NASA officials say they are weighing the cost and safety of moving Discovery from the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum in Chantilly to Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Representative Suhas Subramanian, whose district borders the Chantilly Center, is against the move.
I actually grew up next to the Space Center in Houston, and so I have a particular insight into this issue. And the Space Center in Houston costs money to visit, and they already have many space vehicles already.
The Republican-led Congress allocated $85 million last summer for the move, but the Smithsonian estimates the cost to relocate the shuttle could be almost double that. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Thursday.